Today we want to spend some time talking about a spiritual need that is lacking in many Christians today as a result of our ignorance or cynicism. This cynical idea towards this need have caused us to lose sight of what it is. And that's the need to abide at the feet of Jesus, staying at the feet of Jesus. This is where we want to spend some time talking about this morning. Abiding becomes a need after we are saved and are now alive in Christ. The next stage, a next step in your walk in faith is to abide. Okay? To abide. It's like a child, a baby that is born into the world that should not be left alone. The mother or parent becomes responsible to make sure that that child grow up to become strong and not depending on them any longer. And so that's the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of Jesus in our lives. So abiding at the Lord's feet after one gets born again is very essential. It is the source of productivity in the new life in Christ. And our spiritual life depends on it going on into eternity. It doesn't end after we leave here, in other words, but we go on into eternity with it. And so the assurance of our salvation, I'm saying in other words, depends on it. The power for service in the Lord depends on it. The experience of truth, joy, depends on it. Our receiving of guardians and wisdom depends on it. And so no wonder why Jesus will write in John 15 verse 5 these words. He writes, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit," he says, "for apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." Okay? Jesus is saying that once we get born again, all of our life depends on him. Not a portion of it, but every part of it. We don't compartmentalize our lives and give Jesus a certain part, and a certain part we take care of. But the whole of you, the all of you, is giving to the Lord. It becomes his after you get born again. Your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life, your relational life, your psychological life, all of it belongs to the Lord. All depends on him. He wants us to do that. So have you ever met an individual that just seemed to have God all over them? Have you gotten in contact with people like that? It's not that they are going all around trying to be boastful about this Christ that is in them, but you see this meekness, this gentleness in a person who is so consumed to the Lord. And that kind of Christian life looks like they are walking shoulder to shoulder with the Lord. And I have come across people like that in my lifetime, growing up in the faith, that I admire so much, and how so much consumed they were with the Lord. And you wonder how they were able to accomplish that when you see stuff like that. You ask, how did this person manage to get this far in the Lord? I think the answer lies in what they have discovered. That's where the answer is. It tells you that some people have just learned the act of abiding at the feet of Jesus. Some people just learned it. And that this the kind of a Christian life that I would like for myself, to see myself in that kind of place where I'm so consumed with the Lord, shoulder to shoulder. We are living together. We are loving together. We do everything together. My daily life depends on him. But notice that the cost of abiding comes with the conjunction if. It comes with the conjunction if. The word if introduces conditional clauses, or it connects two parts of a sentence where one depends on the other. And Jesus says it here, if, look at the word if in the text, if you remain in me and I in you. The word if there, this morning, we're going to look at that this morning also from our second reading. Paul speaks of the church in Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, the A part of 23, he reads, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now listen to the next phrase. If, that's the word again, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Here, abiding seems to be a matter of choice. And this is the reason why you'll find Christians in the church at different levels. In the same church, but at different levels. Because abiding is a matter of choice. When a person decides to follow God, remember the song we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Some people truly follow Jesus. Some people truly make that decision to follow God. And so it's a matter of choice. It is an essential means of grace that God has given to us that come as a matter of choice. Following Jesus is a grace thing. All right? It's like education. Education is given to everybody. When students graduate from high school, they have the choice of entering into college or not going to college at all. And unfortunately, some of them will choose not to go to college. It's not because the educational system is not there for them, but they have chosen not to do so. So it is in the church. You got folks in the church who will make that decision not to follow God, not to continue on. We become somehow complacent in our Christianity. And we get to this level where we think we cannot go any further than that. Okay? And so it is a matter of choice. We must understand that. Your growth process is a choice. You have to make that choice. In our gospel story this morning is the mention of a woman named Mary, one of the sisters of Lazarus. Mary is mentioned three times in the gospel account, but every time she is mentioned, she is always found at the feet of Jesus. Her experiences there can teach us some valuable lessons about our own walk with the Lord this morning. So the topic that we chose for today's message is abiding at his feet. Abiding at his feet. This is Jesus' feet we are talking about. It's talking about staying. The word abiding is talking about remaining or staying at his feet. Not going there occasionally, but being there at all times is what the text is talking about. Let's look at 3 points this morning. Then I'm going to shut up and sit down. The first is, abiding is a place of stillness. Look in Luke chapter 10, verses 38-39. It says that Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her door to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, the story tells us that Martha, Mary's sister, opened the door for Jesus to come in the house and did her best, okay, to welcome him as a good hostess. She's doing everything she can to make him pleased. She's fixing the food and doing all these things. Listen, Martha opened the door to the house and did not open her heart to the Lord. Let me say this one more time so you grasp hold of this. Martha opened the door of the house for the Lord to come in, and she's preparing all this food, but did not open her heart to the Lord. We have a lot of Marthas in the churches today. Do you know that? A lot of Marthas are in the church today, very busy for the Lord, never taking the time to be still. We are always running and doing things and going here and going there, making sure things are done for the Lord, but we never take time to be still. How do you become still in the Lord? Stillness has to do with making time for devotion in your personal life. This is something that is mandatory for growth in the spirit. You have to make time for devotion with the Lord personally. You have to make time for group study, Bible studies, in small groups. You have to do that. This is how we stay and abide at the feet of the Lord. Make time for prayer. You have to pray and study God's word and do all these things. But these are things, unfortunately, that many Christians see as non-essential elements of their faith. They don't see it as essential elements. They see it as a non-essential element. And then we become complacent about Christianity. And so we have many Christians walking around who are complacent Christians. They don't grow. They're not growing. Do you know that there are some folks who've been in the church for so many years and they have not grown an inch? They don't know too much about God. They don't care to know too much about God. Folks, listen to me. This is valuable. And this is what God is giving to you and to me this morning. So they don't take the time to listen to God. They just run off with their life. I remember when Andrea was about 7 years old and we lived in this townhouse. One day I called her and said, please run upstairs into my room. Those were the words came out of my mouth, and Andrew went leaping up the steps. And I was like, and I stopped her in the middle of the staircase. I said, Andrew, where are you going? And she looked down at me and go, oh, because I didn't give her the information. And she was running, going upstairs in the room without the information. And that's how many Christians do. We run, we take it and we run. We don't get still to listen, to hear what God has to say to us. We don't. Okay? Until we go and make a mess out of it. And that includes our own lives. The life God gives to you is not from you, it's from Him. And you are a steward of that life. And sometimes we come and make plans of the things that we want for our lives and not seek God's face to actually find out what His will is in the situation that has to do with us. We make it look like we are some separate thing from everything else that God made and that He didn't create us. We came and we are just enjoying what God has given us, but we forget that we ourselves, you know, come from Him. Many times I get in my prayer time and I'm sitting and praising God for His goodness and His blessings, and then I'm thanking Him for me. I got to thank Him for me because I too come from Him. There is nothing that I own or nothing that I have that comes from me. There's no me in this whole situation. It's all about God. It's all about Him, folks. And we need to come to that place and come to that reality that if we are going to maximize our potential in God, then it's very essential that we bring our lives to Him and get still. Stillness is needed. So the question to you and I this morning, are you a Martha in here or are you a Mary? You need to answer that question to yourself. Are you a Martha? Think about it. Or are you a Mary? So let's see some of the things that Martha had to go through as she abided under the Lord's will. Let's see some of the things she had to go through. Mary. Mary found a place where she could forget about her cares. And that is being in the presence of God. You know, when a person grows in their faith to a certain level, when you come to a place like this in worship, in church, you forget about yesterday. You forget about the things that are waiting you outside, and you just get yourself consumed in the Lord. You get your spirit consumed in the Lord and fill your spirit with all that God has for you as you come in His presence. There is a song that says, let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. And you see, you forget about the needs that you have and the situations that stand in front of you. When you get in the presence of God, you bring your whole self in and worship. So this is what Mary is doing. She's in the presence of the Lord. She's placed everything in front of God, and she's just worshiping Him with everything that she has. She found a place where she can forget about her care. The next thing is Mary found a place to feed her soul. And that's in the present. Martha is worried about the physical, while Mary is worried about the spiritual. You know what, folks? I tell you the truth. The spiritual is what we need to be concerned about. You know why? Because everything that is in this physical came out of the spiritual world. When God said, let there be, these things came into existence. And in order for you to truly understand and enjoy what is before your eyes, you have to really understand what is in the spirit. And this is what Martha is doing, Mary is doing, spending a lot of time with Jesus, getting to understand what real life is all about. Mary found a place also of true self-fulfillment. Fulfillment and contentment is very, very essential within the context of our social world today. All right? Everybody seek for greater achievements in life. If you are on a job, your ambition is to get promoted and get to the next level. If you are in school, your ambition is to get to the next grade or the next year of schooling. And you're always looking for elevation in your life. Everybody wants to elevate. Everybody wants to achieve in the process as we go along. But Mary realized that a self-fulfillment is found in having the fullness of God. When you are full with God, you can find that fulfillment that you're looking for. It is in God. It is nowhere else. You can't find it nowhere. I told you a story the other day about Will Smith. One of the celebrities was on Facebook and was talking about how people would go down to rock bottom. And they say, well, I hit rock bottom. And I couldn't go any further lower than that. He says, but just as people can hit rock bottom, people can also hit cliff top. Okay? You can hit the top of the cliff and can't go any further. That is, after you've gotten all the money that you need, and you've gotten all the fame that you look for, and all the things, you bought everything, but you still have money, but you can't buy anything else. You can't go any further. And you find out at this point that there is no satisfaction at cliff top. And he says that when you get to that point is when you start to find yourself. That's what he says. Because why? Will Smith doesn't know much about Jesus. So he says you look to find yourself. I think when you hit cliff top, you need to be looking for God. You hit rock bottom, you need to be looking for God. Because he is the only one who goes lower than that. The Bible says he's so low, you can't get under him. He is so high, you can't get over him. So if you go to cliff top, look for God. You hit rock bottom, look for God. He's somewhere there. He's always there. Okay? And so it's the same situation here. So we are looking for fulfillment in life, but that fulfillment is in God. We all need to find this place of stillness because God wants to meet us there. He wants to meet us there. Sometimes we search for God in the bigger things. We're looking for him in the big things, not in the small things. But we become like Elijah. Elijah's running away from Ahab and Jezebel. He runs away. He hides. And while he is in hiding, he is in search for God, looking for God. And the Bible says the wind came and God was not in it. It says that the earthquake came and God was not in it. But Elijah's anticipation was that he would find God in one of these big things. And then the Bible says the fire came and started, but God was not in it. After all the stuff went on, then God showed up in the stillness of that moment. It was when God showed up. We need to be still to know that he is God. In Psalm 46 verse 10, God says, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. He says, and I will be exalted in the earth. God wants to be exalted amongst the nations. He wants to be exalted in your life. And when God gets exalted in your life, listen, it is at that moment that you will reach and understand what true self-fulfillment is. When God is exalted in your life, you will understand the fullness of God. You will understand what true fulfillment, self-fulfillment is. So being still is something that is essential for the Christian. So it is a place of stillness, but it is also a place of supplication. Look in Luke 10:39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Notice how the text says she was at the Lord's feet listening to him. This suggests also that she was seeking answers regarding the cares of life. She was not only sitting listening to Jesus, but she was asking him questions, and he was responding to her as she asked this question. While Martha was taking care of the cares of life, Mary was there seeking answers for the cares of life. And so we see this. When you go to the Lord seeking answers, we show that we don't have the answer to life. Whenever we go to God seeking for answers, we are showing God that we saying that we don't have the answers to life. And this is why I go to God, I would say every week. Once every week, I go in that quiet space and wait on God. I tell him, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I've been in the ministry for 30 years, or 32 years rather. Still don't know what God is calling me to do at this point. Because every time he changes your assignment, he got new things for you. When God places a new position in your life, he has new assignment for you. It comes with a blueprint, and it has new things in it for you. And you have to constantly go before his face and ask him, seek his face for the answer. Don't follow the flow with your desires. Don't flow with your desires, but go to God and seek his face. Ask him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? He always has answers for us. Never in history has the Lord called anyone, giving them the full blueprint of the call. We see that in Moses' life when God met him at the burning bush. He says to him, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you deliver my people from Egypt. And Moses went down there. God did not tell Moses that he would have to go through 10 plagues. God did not tell Moses that he would have to cross the Red Sea. God did not tell Moses that you guys going to suffer from a thirst in the wilderness and hunger in the wilderness. He didn't tell him that you would eat manna and all those things. He just sent him. And as he went along the way, those things were made known to him. And why did that happen? Was because Moses stayed in the presence of God. He did not just run off with the message, run off with whatever God has given him to go and do it however way. You have to understand, folks, I don't care what career path you are taking in life. You are serving the Lord in your career path. It is not just because of you. It is not just because of society. But it is because God has called you to serve in that place. And you need to go to God and ask for his will as you serve him. Stop making it look like it's about you. It's not about you. If God is giving you a husband or a wife, you need to go to him and seek his face about that relationship. Don't get yourself all caught up into it and not listening to what God has for you at that moment, at that point in time. He created you with a purpose, and he created you in his will, and he has a plan for your life. And the only way you're going to know that plan is by abiding in him. So Mary approached. Let's look at Mary's approach. She asks, she's seeking, and she's knocking as she went along. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is the secret to a successful, holistic life in God. A life of stillness and supplication. Wait, ask, seek, and knock. That's a constant thing. It's a continuous, consistent practice that God is calling us to. And we cannot shy away from this. We need to get ourselves absorbed into it. It's the reason why we as a church, the corporate body, comes together every week on Wednesday evening to pray. We do that on prayer line. You have to be intentional to sign in for it. You cannot be complacent about your faith. You cannot be complacent about your Christian walk. You sign in and come in. Let's pray to God together. Plug yourself into a small group Bible studies and study God's word together. That's where we come together in strength. And find time on your own. Don't just jump out of the bed in the morning, put your 2 feet in front of you and start going. Get there and wait on God. Have a devotion with God before you step out. Because you know what? He was the one who took you through the night, kept the life inside of you while you thought you were sleeping, and woke you up in the morning. And he gave you that life for the new day. Get up and thank him. Get up and give praise and honor and glory to him for the grace and strength that you have to start the new day. That is something that God deserves. So we talk about a place of stillness, a place of supplication. Lastly, let's talk about how it is a place of service. Being still in God is a place of service. Look in Luke 10, verses 40 through 42. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. or indeed only one. Mary had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. It tells us that Martha was distracted, even though it appears to be that Martha was the one who was very busy trying to prepare something for Jesus. But she was also distracted by that and not seeing what was really going on. This tells us that we can be really busy for Jesus, yet doing nothing that is going to last. Okay? Nothing that is going to last. Jesus is, he said it in the text over there, that what Mary is doing is going to last. But what Martha is doing is not going to last. Do you know that all of the achievements and aspirations and all these things that we run after in this life, one day when you lie dead to the ground, all of your achievements end at that point. And the only thing it becomes is something that people look back on, but you are gone. But what kind of investment did you make into eternity? It's what matters. You see, every moment you spend with the Lord, every moment you spend in church, every moment you spend receiving God's word, these are eternal investments. They are not just for this moment, this time, and after we fade away, it's gone, but it remains with you for all eternity. This is what Jesus is telling Martha, that what Mary is doing is better. So most of the time, we carry Martha's syndrome in our heads. We program it and we run with our programs and forget that there is a God who called us to do these things. Because Mary was always at Jesus' feet, Mary's program was always in sync with that of Jesus' plan. Mary is in service every time doing what was by Jesus is better. What Mary is doing is better. She was always doing it the better way. I remember many years ago when I first came to Holy Nativity, I went in the office to pray on Wednesdays when I locked myself in to pray. And somebody came to see me that day. One of the members who is not here any longer came to see me that day. And I was in prayer. And he goes to the secretary's office and asks, I need to talk to pastor. He said, oh, he's in prayer. Because I told him when I came that whenever I'm in prayer, the only time you knock on my door is if the building is on fire because I need to get out. Apart from that, don't knock on my door, okay, because I'm in a meeting with the highest executive and I don't need nobody to disturb that moment. So this person got really upset. How will he be here? He comes to serve the church and needs to be available for people to meet him. Yes, that's true. But you have to understand, I serve the church, but I serve a higher authority that I need to give report to and take instructions from, and that's Jesus Christ. And so how would I do that if I just spend all my time running after y'all? No, I need time for him. And so I go in there, and up until this day, I still do that. Karen will tell you, I still do that. I go in that office, and I lock the door and talk to the Lord. Because as far as I'm concerned, the work that I'm doing belongs to him. And you know what? You may be serving in the corporate world, but listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. You are serving the Lord. He says, let your light shine in the world so that men will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So whatever your calling is, whatever your career is, whatever place that God has placed you, you are there to be a light. You are there to carry on specific instructions. And you cannot just do it based on your level of experience. God may have a word, a rhema word, to throw into your spirit to cause you to change the whole trajectory of what you do. But you're not going to get that word unless you are still in his presence. I'm not talking about going in prayer and praying until you're sweating. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going and waiting on God. Wait on God. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God wants you to wait. Just wait. Wait and forget about what's going on outside. And wait on the Lord until he renews you. And keep doing that all the time. If I could give you some, some supernatural things that have happened, encounters that I've had just by waiting on God and what he showed me and told me and how he changed the scope of things in my life. And he wants to do that for all of us. That's what abiding is about. I pray that we'll find time in our lives to abide in the Lord and grow from the level we are at to the next level and to the next level and to the next level and on onto eternity. I pray that these words from God will encourage your hearts this morning and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say amen. Amen.